Psalm 100. Listen to the word of God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Okay, Psalm 100 is one of the best known psalms in the Psalter. It's all of 5 verses long, and it contains 7 great truths. First, the Lord God is our creator. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. It is God who made us. We belong to him. This, my friends, is basic Christian doctrine. Indeed, this affirmation is one of the key distinctions between the religions of the East and the religions of the West. Western religions, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, declare that God created the world and all that is in it. God is distinct from the world. He is over and above the world. He is the creator of the cosmos that we know and see. In contrast, Eastern religions, Hinduism, the varieties of Buddhism, and so on, they tend to collapse the oneness of God and the world. All that is God. And God is in the world, but not distinct from it. And the cosmos is uncreated. It itself is eternal. So the first declaration is that we know the Lord God as creator. The second is that we are his people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know, those who are created owe an allegiance to their creator. Acknowledging God as creator makes explicit our duty that is owed solely to him. Now, the fact is, in today's world, most people live as though they were self-created, believing that they are the center of the universe. But God's people know that he has a claim upon our lives. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Now, there are two meanings to this imagery of sheep. First, it's telling us that God cares for us. You know, that's what shepherds do, right? They care for the sheep. Our Lord God cares for us. And let me tell you, this is so valuable to remember as we face the difficulties that all of us face in the reality of life. But the shepherd knows the sheep. He watches out for them. He rescues them when needed. Secondly, this image of shepherd tells us that God leads us. He offers guidance. That's what shepherds do, right? They take the flock to water and to fertile pastures. The shepherd stables the flock at night. The imagery is that God leads and guides and protects us. So, we know God is creator. Secondly, we are his people. He watches over us. Thirdly, we enter into his presence. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. You know, the knowledge of God as our creator and shepherd should lead us to want to enter into his presence, enter his gates with thanksgiving. A gate, of course, is a point of entry. Every ancient city had a main entry point with gates that controlled access to the city. And so the imagery here is that of an entry point that takes us into God's presence. It's not mere knowledge that is important, but it is also being in God's presence. You notice every week here at worship at Fairview, what happens at the very beginning? The lector stands up and we have the call to worship. We are called to enter into God's gates in order to lift up his name. As Christian parents, we do all that we can to raise our children to know and love the Lord. We bring them to worship. We teach them the Bible. Together with our children, we're involved in small groups. These are all good things. They're important things. But at the same time, there comes a point when our children must choose to make the faith their own. They must enter the gates and make their own confession of faith in Christ. And our story begins with the knowledge of God as our Creator. It continues as we see His loving hand upon us, and in response, we turn to God and enter His gates. We believe Him, we worship Him, we praise Him. And there comes a point where the faith of parents must become the faith of the children, where a point for each of us where the faith of our parents became our own. You know, Joshua challenged the people of Israel, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Elijah challenged, "Why do you limp between two opinions?" Jesus declared, "You're neither hot nor cold. Would that you were either hot or cold." In every life, there comes a time to choose, to show some spiritual backbone, to respond to the call that God has issued, and to enter into His gates. Now, having entered God's presence, we now offer Him our praise, and into His courts with praise. You know, if a gate is a point of entry, the courts are intended to be the place of praise. You know, we enter God's presence offering praise to His greatness and glory. Praise is a uniquely Christian endeavor. We offer praise to God for His greatness, His goodness, and His glory. And as an aside, I would encourage you, I think that as God's people, we should seek to give praise to one another. Let me challenge you this week to seek to increase the level of praise in your life. Cultivate praise. Think about those whom you can speak a word of praise and encouragement to. Certainly your children will always be a possibility, but you know, think outside the box some as well. Praise your children, praise your spouse, praise your friends and co-workers. Indeed, when I ask the question, why are some people so hesitant, so lacking in praise, I have to tell you that I believe that part of the answer as to why some people are unwilling to praise is because they really haven't cultivated a thankful heart within themselves. You know, some people don't praise because they have a problem with gratitude, and one way to increase our level of gratitude is to learn how to say thanks. We have to learn to be thankful to God for the provisions He has given to us in life. So, this psalm tells us we know God is Creator, we are His people, and God watches over us. Thirdly, we enter His presence, we give God praise. Fifthly, we claim His name. The reference to God's name reflects God's authority. A person's name summarizes who they are. As you know, it's important to possess a good name. To have a good name is a sign of honor and character. You know, we say of Jesus that His is the name above every other name, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee will one day bow. So Jesus' name equals His authority. In claiming Christ's name, we are claiming Christ's authority. Whatever we do as a church, we do it in Christ's name, because we have no spiritual authority other than Christ Himself. Sixthly, the psalm reminds us that we have been led, or we have been given God's mercy. For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is good. You know, we come into God's presence not upon our own moral goodness or authority. You know, you and I could not stand before the holiness of God. You know, in the Bible, every time you see somebody getting a glimpse of the greatness and magnitude and holiness of God, they cry out, "Woe, I am undone." You know, their knees buckle. We need God's grace and mercy. Now, thankfully, this psalm declares a theme that is found repeatedly in the Psalter, and that is that God's steadfast love endures forever. We cannot earn God's love. We can never be good enough to deserve God's love. But thankfully, what we cannot earn, God offers to us freely. And lastly, we follow God's truth and His faithfulness to all generations. The psalmist tells us that God's faithfulness continues through the ages, to all generations. The idea is that God's truth has been passing down to us through time. And we are simply the latest wave of the covenant community. And being the latest wave of the covenant community reminds us that that our story is larger than your life alone or my life alone. The story that we're a part of is larger than the story of the 177 years of Fairview Evangelical Presbyterian Church. It's a story that is greater than the 500 years of the settlement of the New World and the 500 years of the establishment of the Protestant Reformation. We trace our story back to the first century, to the story of Christ and his passion, but then even earlier, back into the Old Covenant, back to the times of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the message is that God has been faithful to his people through the ages, from Abraham right up to the present. His faithfulness continues today. And that is an encouraging thought. So in review, Psalm 100 tells us several key truths. We are God's people. We belong to him. He cares and watches over us. We are entering his gates, affirming our faith in God personally and individually. We seek to live before God's face, offering him our praise. What we have is not based upon our own authority. We claim the name of Christ. He is our authority. And through Christ, we find God's mercy and truth. And thus, we are grafted in. We are included in the covenant community story. It is the story of God's faithfulness that has been unfolding through the ages. Say amen, somebody.